Welcome to the final segment of my Steve Goes to Broadway series. You know, it all started back in February when I interviewed Tony Award-winning producer Ken Davenport with an idea to understand how the business of Broadway worked, what it takes to produce a show, to raise the money, to find the talent, to promote it, and so on. And who better than Ken to bring us into this world? Ken has been behind some of the most iconic shows in theater, including Kinky Boots, Spring Awakening, and Once on This Island. As I mentioned in my first interview, Ken's bio included the fact that he had raised $50 million from investors over his career, with shows that have grossed more than $500 million in 25 countries. Now, how's that for success? So I decided to put some of my own skin in the game and make an investment. I traveled to New York City to attend a sample run-through of the show, highlighting the story and the music, without the costumes and sets. The show's title is Getting the Band Back Together, and I thought it was funny and was well acted and would have mass appeal. Its headliner was the adorable and talented Mary Lou Henner, so I thought maybe this would have a chance of success. I whipped out my checkbook and ponied up. So let's meet producer Ken Davenport right now and talk about how it's all played out. Hey, Ken, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, and thanks for your investment as well.
That was my pleasure. It was a lot of fun. Getting the Band Back Together was the show, and it has really been quite a roller coaster. Leading up to opening night, what were your duties? What were your plans that you expected to unfold?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I wore two hats on this. I actually wrote the book of the musical as well as was producing it. So part of the job as the writer, you're making tweaks, your changes, and making changes based on your gut, based on the director's asks. But also, once you get into previews, those first weeks before the official opening, you're making changes based on what the audience is telling you. Uh-huh. So over the course of those 4 to 5 weeks of previews, no two shows were the same. Mm. We were constantly changing, adding a joke here, taking this out, costume change, new song, all sorts of stuff. So it was fast and furious. From the producing side, we always knew that getting the band back together would be a challenge because it's a totally original musical on Broadway at a time when Broadway is all about big Hollywood blockbuster-like movies coming here. Mm-hmm. When they come in with brands, and there's nothing wrong with that. We have Pretty Woman, we have Mean Girls, we have Frozen, of course, Harry Potter. So when we think about it from just a product and sales perspective, there's a lot of competition for new musicals, and we didn't have that kind of brand.
Yeah.
So we knew we would count on word of mouth, and word of mouth spreading very, very quickly if the show is going to be a success.
Were there any unforeseen glitches you experienced right up to opening night?
Well, there was a scenic glitch that happened in rehearsals. You know, you design the scenery and you have a model, right? You look at a model. Mm-hmm. Oh, it looks great. And then you build the scenery and then you put it up on stage. Mm-hmm. And then we got there and we had made a decision. You know, no big musical puts the set on the deck, as we call it, flat on the stage. We always build something on top of the stage so we can bury cables, lighting, all sorts of things in it.
Yeah.
So we're actually performing 6-8 inches off the deck. Mm. Well, when we did that, we neglected to realize that the front row would be staring up and the first 4 or 5 rows would be staring up at a little higher angle than we thought.
Yeah.
And the balcony would have some cut off. So we had to make some changes to that deck at the last minute. If you saw the show, there was a step up. That step up was added during previews.
Okay. All right. You know, a few weeks prior to the opening of the show, you won a Tony Award for Once on This Island. And I was really amazed and excited. So, you know, here I was, first time kind of entering the world of Broadway, and I'm hooking up with Ken Davenport, the producer, and he wins a Tony. And I actually did a segment on the Steve Goes to Broadway series about, wait a minute, what have I done here? What have I gotten myself into? This is really kind of amazing. First of all, really quickly, what was that feeling like to be chosen? I mean, you were going up against Sound of Music, if I'm not mistaken, one of those really kind of big shows that have been on Broadway forever.
Yeah, we were up against these classic war horses, two big musicals. That was actually My Fair Lady and Carousel.
Okay.
And we were the underdog. And if you saw the Tonys or Google around and watch when Once on This Island was announced, you can see the genuine shock and awe on mm-hmm. my face as I'm literally running to the stage before they changed their mind. It was an amazing experience. And look, hopefully someday, knock something, I will get that chance and opportunity to be on that stage and give another speech. But I wonder if it will ever be as thrilling from a competitive standpoint, because usually you know what's going to win these awards. They're not usually that tight of a race. This one was super, super tight. So it was a real nail biter. And if you listen to the ovation in the audience, not only did we have the love of the audience, but they were shocked too. Yeah. It was a real Rocky-like victory for this beautiful show that's still running. So if you're in town, you should go see it.
Once on This Island is the name of that show. So it's August, it's before opening night, and then the New York Times comes out with five shows, five summer recommendations, and there's Getting the Band Back Together. So things were looking up. Take us through opening night, kind of the week prior, in terms of what your expectations were going into that.
Well, you, of course, always are hoping and dreaming that you're going to get the best reviews on the planet, even though reviews aren't necessarily the thing that makes big Broadway hits. You know, famously, Wicked didn't get good reviews. Les Mis didn't get good reviews.
Yeah.
We all know this. You know, I've been doing this 25 years now. We know reviews aren't the thing. However, it's still romanticized. You kind of dream about that stuff, and everyone wants that kind of validation. But more importantly for me, as we were going through previews, we were in the summer, which is a difficult time to open. We had an original musical, which is challenging to get out there into the world. I was reading the market conditions, if you will, and I noticed that the season, the summer and leading into the fall, was showing some weakness from an industry standpoint. So there were a bunch of things that were starting to concern me a little bit. I noticed we had fantastic, fantastic word of mouth. However, it was spreading a little bit slower. And that the audience that was coming to see the show right off the bat, the early adopters for this group, weren't your typical Broadway theater goers. So I started to get concerned that while we had all the ingredients of a big fat hit, literally people telling me on the first preview, this is going to be bigger than Jersey Boys, this is the most fun I've had at a Broadway show in a long time, I knew that it may take a little bit longer than I thought for that word of mouth to spread. Yeah. So I started to have those concerns.
Now, don't you have money in the budget to give the show a chance to develop and to have that word of mouth and all of those necessary factors, which, you know, give the show time to gain momentum?
That's right. We call it a reserve, and every show on Broadway raises a reserve, if they're able to, frankly. And we had a very healthy reserve because I knew that I went in there I stored some chestnuts, you know, I had some nuts stored away for the winter, if you will, because I expected it. I knew it. It was totally original. It was a thing. It wasn't a brand. But because of the summer, which we didn't anticipate to be as challenging as it was, and then leading into the fall, we went through that a little bit quicker than we expected. Mm-hmm. So that was one of those glitches that you might say. Very quickly, we were like, we're getting to the end of our reserve. We knew we were going to be in this position, but we were in this position a little bit sooner than we thought.
Yeah. So when is the decision made? You're looking at not only your reserves, but kind of all the cash in the bank, money expected to come in, however the numbers work. And at some point, you have to kind of either pull the trigger or take another risk, another week, another 2 weeks. What was the point for you where you said, you know, this is just not going to fly?
Well, it's a great question because it's the hardest thing to do is close a show or pull the plug on any business. I'm sure many of your listeners out there who have started their own business, and, you know, most first businesses especially, mm-hmm. they don't work and you have to go on to the next one and next one. And knowing when to do that is one of the hardest but most important things for any business person, because you can't just keep going at something that isn't going to take, number one, mm-hmm. it's not working, or two, it's going to cost too much money to get it to work. And that's where we were with Getting the Band Back Together. There's no question in my mind that the show was working. I was hearing this not only from the everyman audience members, investors like yourself, but major executives in our industry, my peer group here, as well as some incredible artists were coming to me and saying how much fun they had. So I knew the product was working. However, what I realized in my analysis said was it's going to take longer because of the audience coming now and because of the competition. Yeah. It's going to take longer, and we didn't get the reviews that we wanted. Reviews sometimes, they don't provide long-term health for a musical, but they provide short-term health. They're, I call them a steroid shot of sales.
Especially at the beginning, I would think. There's so much competition. And, you know, we don't really have a lot of time, but I think there were two or three other shows that had the word band in the title. I know there's the band's visit. There was the getting the band back together. There was another one with the band. So there must have been some confusion. So you had to sit down with cast members, all the people in production, all the people that have worked so hard and so tirelessly and had high expectations like yourself, and you had to tell them, what was that experience like?
Well, you know, when you work on Broadway, this is a common thing. All shows close unless they're Phantom of the Opera or The Lion King. So I've been in this situation before and had to deliver this news.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it was a bit devastating for everyone on getting the band back together because we knew how much the audience was loving the show. We were hearing it from our friends and we were just seeing it and hearing it in the ovation. And I think that one of the reasons why it was hard for all of us is not only were we getting this positive affirmation every night, but it recognized, especially for me, a real change in the industry. That new musicals like this without a big brand that are trying out in the summer, that is going to be a very difficult thing to get going. And it wasn't that way 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Original musicals have always had it hard, but it's harder now than ever. And I think all of us were a little bit disappointed just because it meant, oh, the business is changing.
I see.
And we're going to have to change with it and maybe have to alter the things that we do as a result.
Well, the hurdle is higher cost-wise as well. I mean, it's very expensive to put on one of these shows now. So it's not that easy to just kind of put something on with relatively minimal amounts of money. And if it fails, you can kind of keep experimenting. You know, Ken, we're out of time, but I do want to ask you, what are the next steps as an investor? And just to know, what can you do with this show now that it's no longer on Broadway? Are there any revenue streams possible going forth?
Yes. In fact, this is the exciting thing about Broadway being so popular right now, and it's a great way to mitigate risk for investors, is that the show will have a life. It's being licensed now. So your listeners have probably seen shows at their local regional theater, community theaters, summer stock, high schools. So getting the band back together will live on in productions, hopefully all over the world. And there have been many shows that have achieved great success in this market that haven't been the biggest success or haven't had the longest run on Broadway. We expect getting the band back together to be one of those shows because it was so popular with the everyday audience members. So I encourage your listeners out there, go to gettingthebandbacktogether.com, get the CD, listen to it, recommend it to their local theater, and hopefully they'll get a chance to see it, even if they didn't get a chance to see it on Broadway.
Well, Ken, it's been a wonderful experience, to say the least. It's been exciting for me to have a chance to kind of see the inside and also to get to talk with a professional like yourself. You know, I wish you the best of luck and definitely keep us informed as to what's going on. I only really have about 30 seconds left. What's new in your life in terms of the next show?
Well, we'll be doing some that features some pretty big brands, actually two of them. One, I have the rights to the Vacation movie franchise. So just like there's Vacation, European Vacation, Vegas Vacation, we're developing Broadway Vacation.
Okay.
Griswold's come to New York City for the very first time.
That sounds great. Again, Ken Davenport, my guest, Broadway producer. Thank you so much, Ken.
Thank you.
To hear this in any interview again, or if you have a question about what we've just discussed, if you have any question that you want to ask us, we love to get them and we love to respond to them. Go to stevepomerantz.com to join the conversation and sign up for a weekly update where this interview and all of our interviews will come into your inbox every single week and with links directly to the website. That's stevepomerantz.com.